AM Amory and WBZH 910 AM W245CT Hayward.
Always ABC News, on the Civic Dave Media Packer. App.
Crews in Plum, Pennsylvania, outside of Pittsburgh, combing through the wreckage of a deadly Saturday house explosion. Plum Police Chief Laney Conley with today's update.
The information that we have received from the medical examiner's office is there have been five victims recovered from the scene, four of which are adults, and we have one adolescent child.
The cause of the blast under investigation. In Hawaii, the death toll from the wildfires in Maui reaching at least 93. It's now the deadliest U.S. wildfire in modern history. Meanwhile, on the U.S. mainland, heat alerts, 110 million people across 16 states today. Republican presidential hopefuls continuing their weekend at the Iowa State Fair. Former President Trump was there on Saturday, maintaining he did nothing wrong in any of the three pending criminal cases he's facing. And that number could grow to four as the district attorney in Fulton County, Georgia, asked two witnesses to appear this week before a grand jury, deciding whether charges should be filed over alleged attempts to overturn the 2020 election. This is ABC News. Donald Trump meeting voters at the Iowa State Fair this weekend. So far, the front-running Republican candidate for president in 2024, outpacing all opponents. One of those fellow presidential hopefuls, and the only one not in Iowa this weekend, Chris Christie. Instead, he was in ABC's This Week, where he said even if it's not him who's elected in 2024, it surely shouldn't be Donald Trump.
What I think Republican voters have to ask themselves is two things. First is, is he really the guy under indictment in four different cases, given the conduct that he committed, someone who can beat Joe Biden or any other Democrat in November 2024? And when are we going to stop pretending that this is normal?
But this Iowa State Fair attendee is all in on Trump and says he thinks the former president is not beholden to special interests.
Trump doesn't owe anybody anything, and he's got my support 100%.
Dave Packer, ABC News.
Did you know the Wisconsin State Fair is 172 years old? It still celebrates the industries important to our state's history, like agriculture. But every year, new attractions and items are added. This year, there's more than 100 new foods to try. So what do you think topped the culinary list last year? Flamin' hot Cheetos chicken on a stick? Deep-fried old-fashioned? Or Pino pretzel popper brat? The answer's coming up. The Wisconsin State Fair didn't start in its current home of West Alice. The first was in Janesville along the Rock River, then moved to different locations the next 40 years. The original cream puff has been around almost as long, close to 400,000 are gobbled up every year. So which food was number one last year? It was the Pino pretzel popper brat. It came out on top. The State Fair is a true slice of Wisconsin, and it runs through August 13th. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Many of the most recent crimes former President Donald Trump is accused of committing allegedly happened in Wisconsin or with the help of people from here. New Mexico is another battleground state caught up in the alleged fake elector scheme. Roz Brown reports.
New Mexico is one of seven battleground states where former President Donald Trump and his Republican allies are accused of trying to persuade state officials to illegally swing the last election in his favor. David Becker with the Center for Election Innovation and Research says as the next contest approaches, election workers still face fallout from 3 years ago.
They are still suffering. They are still being harassed. They are still being attacked. That's the state we're in now, in early August, 15 months before a presidential election.
New Mexico's five fake electors have yet to be charged with any crimes related to their interference. The indictment appears to suggest that the effort in New Mexico was not as involved as those in other states, such as Arizona, Georgia, or Wisconsin, where electors were asked to sign certificates, falsely stating that Trump, not Democrat Joe Biden, had won their states. Becker knows Americans are eager for an outcome in the court cases stemming from 2020, but hopes both Republicans and Democrats will eventually be on the same page.
That we as Americans can say, regardless of who engaged in these activities, if they are proven to be true beyond a reasonable doubt in a court of law, if those are true, can't we all as Americans agree that this has gone too far, that this should never happen again?
Becker, whose organization provides pro bono legal counsel to election officials, says he's already gotten requests from nearly half the states this year. This is Roz Brown. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
I would be remiss if I didn't say that some of what we do in government always is political. It has policy impacts. It has political impacts. But if your raison d'etre and your organizing principle is that my guy wins and your guy loses, the entire country suffers. That is not our call to serve. That is not what we raise our hand and say an oath.
The Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pursuing the truth wherever it may lead. The Todd Alba Show, weekday afternoons from 1 till 3. Join the conversation. Get involved. The Todd Alba Show on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Unrelentlessly positive.
Innovative.
Innovative?
Innovative. Whatever.
It indicates.
Indicative?
Hey, can we focus?
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Earlier this week, we had a quiz on college rallying cries. So, Jane, when I say OH, what do you say?
IO.
Yeah, she got it. And I will never say that again because all of my Ohio State Buckeye fans, it is so obnoxious when they do that. But today,
did you know they tried to
celebrate Ohio and what they did last night? Go ahead, Greg.
They tried to trademark the word the.
Did they really? So of like, course they did.
The Ohio State University.
The Ohio State University.
Sorry.
But yes, indeed. OHIO, their vote yesterday, kept the door open to codify abortion protections for them this fall and protect their own direct democracy. And so a big hats off to our Midwest comrades in Ohio. And so if you've not been following this story, it's an interesting one. And my question to you, regardless, I guess, of where you stand on the abortion issue, I think it's pretty much undeniable that this is not popular. Abortion bans and abortion restrictions, even in very red states, very not popular.
You heard it here first.
Yeah, right. And that is fact, right? That if you want to debate when life begins, like, we can do that, but we're not going to agree. What we can agree on is we've now had 6 direct referendums mm-hmm. in 6 different states where it was not, gerrymandering couldn't affect it, state officials couldn't affect it, the courts couldn't affect it. But when people went to the polls and said, we want reproductive rights, we want access to health care, we want access to abortion as healthcare. And yet, instead of listening, you can see my hand motions.
I wish you could
right
watch
now.
The live stream people right now.
They being anti-abortion GOP elected officials, their answer is not, instead of to listen and to understand that this is not what they do, or they are not on the right side of the popular vote on this. Instead, try to do what they tried to do in Ohio, which is move the goalpost.
Yeah, well, just go around the voters.
And my question is, how many L's do they have to take before they drop this? 844-967-2789. That's 844-96.
Party.
Thoughts, Jane Matinair, Greg Bach?
I'll let Jane speak first.
They can't. They are the literal embodiment of the dog that caught the car. They've been running on this for 40 years, 50 years. We're the party of life. And now they got their wish, and Roe has been overturned. And I think it's becoming clearer as well that the whole, well, the issue needs to go back to states' rights, because that's what this is about. That's all bull.
Well, and it's interesting because that was the celebration, right? Anti-abortion groups celebrated the end of Roe for returning decisions on abortion laws back to the people.
Right.
But it turns out they aren't too thrilled about the prospect of statewide elections, which again and again and again now has proven that the voters don't want this. And so when you return it to the states and not the state legislators and the lawmakers or the courts, but the actual people, Kansas, Kentucky, Montana,
right.
Ohio, and now Missouri Republicans are also pushing the same rules change as Ohio for their, because they also have direct referendum. And so instead of listening, they're like, let's just change the rules.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When they don't win elections, they change voting laws. When they don't win, going on what Jane said, this topic is ingrained in the DNA of the GOP now. They cannot let it go. They can't afford to let it go. They will suffer the consequences from the lobbyists that they have been in bed with for so many decades.
But here's my question. In a two-party system, because we see this with people with very left issues, right?
Yeah.
We see it for people who still very much are on defund the police. Or, and I don't think universal health care or universal care for all is that far left. But some issues that I would say progressives, my very, very left friends, like, gets very angry at Democrats because they aren't pushing hard enough on the issues that they care about. But ultimately, they're not going to vote for Republicans.
Yeah.
They may not vote at all, which is a problem. But in the same way, do you think evangelical, anti-abortion, very, very right people, they're not going to change their votes to Democrats if the GOP moves on from this issue?
Well, we saw that in 2016. They voted for Donald Trump, a man who, by definition, who once promoted himself as a pro-life person, then became pro-choice person, then said he was pro-life. And it's pretty much known that he did all those things to get those votes. So they'll vote with whomever says it out loud. So if you have someone who, you know, if you have a candidate who just says, yeah, I'm pro-life, I love the fetus, it's conception, they're gonna be like, that's all it needs for me, that's all it needs to work for me, and I got somebody.
But I'm saying the opposite. I'm saying, where do they go? If people who are running drop it entirely, they're not going to vote for Democrats.
No, but they'll probably still vote for the Republicans. Because,
yeah, and yeah. So I think what is the, as it seems like, and I don't know if it's just because so many of these Republicans are such ideologues that they're true believers. Like, this isn't about, for some, Donald Trump, totally.
Yeah.
But for some, it's not, it's actually not about winning votes. It's where they actually believe in, like, morality and protecting life and all of the things that they tout. And so that, like, because they are so extreme in that, they believe that they shouldn't have to listen to what the popular vote is saying because they are right. So unless, like, but shy of that, because there are people who are finally starting to realize, like, we will continue to lose elections on this because we're over a year out. And what wins besides legal wins? What wins have they gotten on this whenever it's been up to a vote?
None.
Right?
Right. But yet again, they're going to stick their fingers in their ears and do what they want. And with the gerrymander still in place in so many places, we've seen it with our own legislature. Our own Republican legislature doesn't respond to what the vast majority of Wisconsin residents want because they don't have to.
Nope. They do not have to.
And they know better. And it's also Robin Voss's money. 844-967-2789. You can always check in, call, and or text from the 262. Some Republicans will never let go of the abortion issue, regardless of how many losses this gives to them politically. Some of them are so convinced about the issue, it is impossible for them to move on.
But here's the question I have. First of all, it's not Robin Voss. It's the Popcorn King. Show the man respect, all right?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Good Lord, woman.
Speaker.
Speaker Popcorn King.
Oh, shout out to Bill from McConnell.
Yes. We love you, Bill.
Here's the thing is, and this can be said about any topic that a politician has to deal with, but when you talk about things like abortion, access, guns, I want to know, specifically with abortion, how many of these old dudes really care that much about abortion? Because we see it happen, like the congressman who knocks up his mistress and then pays for an abortion. Like, they don't really care that much. They only care in as much because it's going to get them votes and it's going to get, and it's easy to do too. I mean, like with guns, it's easy to say, yes, everyone should have guns. All right. I don't have to talk about that anymore. I don't have to talk about nuance. I don't have to talk about the details within. I can just say this one thing and then I can move on to other things. I don't think these politicians care that much about abortion rights.
I think it's probably a mixed bag.
I mean, yes, of course. I'm sure there are some crazy people out there who are like, they got in office because they somehow failed upwards. But the popular ones, the people who are like really running the party, I don't think
Mitch McConnell cares.
I don't.
I actually don't know if Robin Voss actually cares. But I think Andre Jacques does.
Yeah.
Like, I think there are, when you look at the gamut, like, I think there are some very uber religious people who very much do believe.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think there are some who are politicians who are, this is our party line.
Yeah.
844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. Tom from LA. Good morning, Tom. What do you think?
Good morning. First off, we the people ultimately are the government, and we must never forget that. Second, the Republicans in power are the Antichrist party. So I want to throw that out there.
Getting spicy quick, Tom.
I wanted to say, absolutely. They are. They don't do anything Christ said. So I'm really tired of them actually stealing that word and making it into something that it is not. And then the other thing is on this woman's right to choose issue. I'd really appreciate it if we on the, I call it the FDR Democrats, if we could actually start calling this a woman's right to choose or the government's right to choose. Because nobody is pro-abortion. I don't know anybody that's pro-abortion or abortion rights. It's about women, and it's about women making a choice versus the government making the choice. And I don't want government involved in a woman's right to choose. It's between her and her partner and their doctor. And the thing is, there's a lot of women, 80%, 90%. Well, you're an example, Kristen. You're actually going to have a child.
Mm-hmm.
So that was your choice. But the thing is, it wasn't like, oh, my God, it's the media does it all over the place. They either call them pro-life or they call them, what's the opposite of pro-life? It's pro-death. They're the pro-death party. If you're going to be pro-life, you have to be pro-life in all circumstances. So the thing is, I really want us to get this wording correct, because it is about a woman's right to choose or the government's right to choose. Now, if you're a person that wants government and a bunch of men in government choosing for a woman what to do with her body, whether that's to actually have a child or not, terminate a pregnancy or not, that's up to the woman. But it's not a pro-abortion stance or a
anti-abortion stance. Words matter, and that is a good, very good point, Tom. Thank you, as always, for the call. If you have thoughts on this topic, give us a call, 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. We will keep this topic going of Ohio and their vote last night and what it means for November and 2024. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Maybe I'd better go.
Larry, it's your mom. Did you know the Civic Media Network covers the whole state of Wisconsin? They can help your business get the word out, whether you want to reach a smidge of folks or just want the whole kit and caboodle. Call 608-819-8255. Okay then, bye.
Hey, this is Joey Erickson at Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. At Civic Media, we love our local communities and want to share your stories. Submit your local event and we'll let our listeners know. Email me at joey.erickson@civicmedia.us.
AM AM Radio provides always-on news, sports, talk, traffic, and weather reports. It also delivers vital emergency information when your community needs it most. A new bill in Congress would ensure AM Radio stays in your car. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free emergency service is critical. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out, because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes, good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container, because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
As goes Wisconsin, I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinere. He is Greg Bach. And that was, is that the Black Keys?
Yes, it
the
was. Black,
they have a song about Ohio?
They're from Ohio.
Oh, yeah. I did not know that. That makes more sense.
Yeah, it makes all the sense now. But you don't have to be from a state to
celebrate
sing about it.
Yeah. Plus, I just love the Black Keys.
I also love the Black Keys.
They're just so cool. I would walk out of a room if they walked into the room. I'd be like, I'm not cool enough for this.
I can't.
That's how I felt about being
in
Toronto. I'm too ugly for Toronto. Just too ugly for Toronto. The place is beautiful. So people. All right, we're talking about something else. Sorry.
844-967-2789. 844-96-PARTY. We're talking about the big vote taken in Ohio yesterday. From the 608, pro-life people aren't as scary as the abolitionists. They openly want to criminalize women. That is what this is all about. John from the Falls says, for the most part, Republican politicians don't really care all that much about abortion rights or gun rights. These are just convenient issues for them to use to get more votes so, so they can stay in power and accomplish their real goals, staying in power and making more money on the backs of hardworking Americans, many of whom are either too lazy or not smart enough to think for themselves and actually pay attention to the issues.
Dang, spicy.
Dang, spicy.
You know, Tom brought up a really interesting point with his call in the last segment, which was the branding, the wording of these things. And the Republicans are always good at it. Like, they don't say, they don't call people like us pro-choice. They're like, you're pro-abortion. That's, that hits. You're like, oh, that hurt. I mean, you know, like, yeah, I'm totally pro-abortion if you need to get it or if you want to get it. But it also just sounds in context of a press conference. Like, they're really good at the messaging of what they're, what they stand for versus us, where we liberals tried to make as many words as possible to explain what we're trying to say.
Yeah.
Like I just did here.
Yeah. Well, if you're new to the conversation, we are talking about yesterday, Ohio's vote to keep the door open to codify abortion protections. They turned out, and you know, what was surprising is no one knew what the turnout was going to be, which is also, I think, something to celebrate. In the same way, when we had such great turnout in Wisconsin for the Supreme Court race in April, which is, you know, notoriously low turnout when we talk about what the margins people have won by in the past for Supreme Court seats and nonpartisan races in the spring. So, like, another takeaway I have from this is just the fact that they did this on purpose. They did an August vote thinking that there would be low turnout.
Absolutely.
And there wasn't. And it also, I mean, it was 57-58%.
It was 57%.
57% yeah. of, and in Ohio, that is That is a big margin. I think it was 15 points that they passed yesterday on issue one, which was a ballot initiative that asked voters if they wanted to raise the threshold for amending the state constitution from a simple majority, so 50% plus one, to 60%. And it wasn't explicitly about abortion rights, but this was only, they only introduced doing this after the fact that there is going to be a ballot measure in November that Ohioans are scheduled to vote on an amendment that could protect abortion, where as of right now in Ohio, as far as keeping track of what is legal where when it comes to abortion rights, they have their law right now that has a 6-week abortion ban. It is also currently going through the court cases, and so are going through the court. And so because there was one judge who overturned that, so there is messiness happening with what the law currently says. But if this passes in November, it doesn't matter. It overrides what the court case is. And so, but what's interesting about this is that with 57%, and granted, this vote yesterday was about democracy. It was about direct democracy and being able to continue to vote on these things and have the threshold only be 50%. But it's also an indicator that potentially, I mean, if this ends up going in November, now that this is going to happen in November, if not only they pass this, but then if they pass the change to the Constitution to protect abortion rights in November with 60%+ anyways, like, what does that say?
Well, I mean, it's just that the point is like these Republicans are feeling Charlie Brown. They're like, we're going to kick this football. Like, no, we're going to take it away every time. And no, I wonder if there are any GOP members, any pollsters are like, you guys are losing this hand over fist in every state who does this. Just, like, don't.
Yeah.
But, of course, they're not going to. We've been talking about this for so long. So yeah.
Well, and we'll talk about this. Let's take a call right now, but then it looks like we have some more calls coming in, and I also want to talk about other states that are thinking about doing this, so maybe they will change their mind.
844-967-2789. Karina, thanks for joining us. We only got about 2 minutes, Karina.
Okay, I will be real quick, and I think that nobody should tell anybody what to do with their own life and their own body, and especially government, especially doctors. If I'm coming to a doctor and ask to remove a tooth, will they say, no, this is illegal? No, this is my body, and I'm going to decide what to do with my body and my life. And those old men who's sitting there, they have no idea how my body works. They introducing a camera I can swallow so they can figure it out whether I'm pregnant or not. Not even knowing that my stomach doesn't connect to my uterus. So please, for crying out loud, leave it alone to a female.
Who was that again? Was that someone in Ohio?
I will look that up. But Karina, you're absolutely right about that. That he thought, you could swallow something.
You could swallow a camera.
Because it's going to show whether or not you're pregnant, even though your uterus is not connected to your stomach.
Sometimes as a man, I feel so dumb by proxy. So dumb by proxy.
Thanks, Karina, for being
here. Thanks for the call, Karina. I forgot who, let's look at the break, who that was, but I remember when it was like, excuse me, what?
Let me guess, he was in his 60s or 70s.
All right, when we come back, we will take your calls, we will read your texts, and also we will run through the other states that are considering changing the goalposts, but maybe this will change their mind. Maybe not.
It won't.
Maybe not, but love to hear from you, 844-967-2789. This is As Goes Wisconsin. We'll be right back.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. 12:15, Town Call. 1 p.m., The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn directs WLAK.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Crews in Plum, Pennsylvania, outside of Pittsburgh, combing through the wreckage of a deadly Saturday house explosion. Plum Police Chief Laney Conley with today's update.
The information that we have received from the medical examiner's office is there have been 5 victims recovered from the scene, 4 of which are adults, and we have 1 adolescent child.
The cause of the blast under investigation. In Hawaii, the death toll from the wildfires in Maui reaching at least 93. It's now the deadliest U.S. wildfire in modern history. Meanwhile, on the U.S. mainland, heat alerts. 110 million people across 16 states today. Republican presidential hopefuls continuing their weekend at the Iowa State Fair. Former President Trump was there on Saturday, maintaining he did nothing wrong in any of the three pending criminal cases he's facing. And that number could grow to four as the district attorney in Fulton County, Georgia, asked two witnesses to appear this week before a grand jury, deciding whether charges should be filed over alleged attempts to overturn the 2020 election. This is ABC News.
Did you know the Wisconsin State Fair is 172 years old? It still celebrates the industries important to our state's history, like agriculture. But every year, new attractions and items are added. This year, there's more than 100 new foods to try. So what do you think topped the culinary list last year? Flamin' hot Cheetos chicken on a stick? Deep-fried old-fashioned? Or Pino pretzel popper brat? The answer's coming up. The Wisconsin State Fair didn't start in its current home of West Allis. The first was in Janesville along the Rock River, then moved to different locations the next 40 years. The original cream puff has been around almost as long, close to 400,000 are gobbled up every year. So which food was number one last year? It was the Pino pretzel popper brat. It came out on top. The State Fair is a true slice of Wisconsin, and it runs through August 13th. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
It was only our third date, so timing was not great, but he brought me a cute dog card. It said, life's less rough with you. We shared a bottle of Sancerre and some lively conversation before he walked me home.
And then we had sex and everybody knows it will save you.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. Jane Matinera is on the board. Greg Bach is here. And our guest in studio is comedian and writer Taylor K. Phillips. And you laughed as soon as that song. Jane, what did you find that was a deep cut for Taylor?
Yes, I did. You got to hunt around a little bit, but I found it.
So what is it, Taylor?
That is an EP that I recorded with my friend Dylan Marcarell, who is an incredible composer. Over COVID, it sustained me. We wrote this comedic love songs EP, but the woman singing that part, because it's a trio that ends up doing it, is Kim Ona, who is a woman I went to college with, who, it's a very long story, but all this to say, she made her Broadway debut in a musical called Anne Juliet with 2 hours notice as Juliet. And it's, I mean, it's like one of the most incredible stories ever. And it's so nice. It's like, that's my friend Kim who sang on my EP, which is bananas. Like, we're like, will you do this? We're doing a three. And I'm glad you played her instead of me because she is like literally a Broadway singer and I love to sing. And you can tell in my voice that I love to sing. But
the passion
that's so
is there. The talent. Yeah. Is
so that's
not.
That's Kim. She was on Broadway yesterday. She went on as Lady Capulet in the matinee of Anne Juliet on Broadway. So
that is so funny. Well, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
So I heard of you because of your new book, A Guide to Midwestern Conversations, or to Midwestern Conversation. But then as I found out more about you, you kind of have my, well, not currently, but in normal times, not outside of the strike, you write for Last Week Tonight. You are a comedian. You are a writer. You have written for basically all of the different comedic McSweeneys and all of the things. And you also have this book out, but you're also from the Midwest. So you're not from Wisconsin, though. You are from Missouri.
I am from Missouri. I'm from Kansas City. I have my Kansas City Heart shirt on. I know that we're on the radio, but I have a Kansas City Heart shirt on. But I'm acquiring a Wisconsin or Milwaukee shirt tonight before
Perfect.
My book event.
We have a lot of those.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, we have a lot of really good merch for the state. Yeah. So let's just start with how the journey from the Midwest to being a writer on one of the most popular political satire shows out there.
It's, you know, the thing that I think is the most frustrating but also sometimes validating is literally everybody's story and journey to wherever they go in the world of television and film is so, so different. Mine is I grew up in Kansas City, same house, 18 years, moved to the East Coast for college, came back to Kansas City to do some like fringe festival sketch comedy stuff, and then moved to New York to do the thing. But in order to do the thing, I needed to have money to pay rent, to eat food
it's
while I did
works,
the thing.
Right? Yeah.
And so I worked in advertising
okay.
for a very long time, and I was doing tutoring and copywriting and all of that. And at the same time, taking improv classes and doing stand-up.
What was your go-to? Pitt? UCB?
UCB.
All right.
Oh, I was a UCB baby. Yeah, yeah. I have, in fact, I'm officiating my friend's wedding this on Friday. I met her 3 days into moving to New York.
Oh, wow.
And we became best friends. And she would have been the most important person I met at UCB, except for the other one I am married to.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. I mean, even footing.
It's close.
There's different categories. It's fine.
It's true. It's true. And you know what? And everything with UCB. Like,
Are they still defunct? Did they survive? No, they reformed.
COVID? I don't know a lot about what's going on with them now. Okay. I think they're hiring teachers now and getting the theater back up and
reforming
so,
some of the issues that
yes
were, and came
yes,
to light.
Reforming situations. Maybe distributing the PPP loan that appears to maybe have only gone to like the finance guy. I have no idea what happened.
Okay.
But yeah, so I was
Taylor's
UCB
spilling
baby.
The tea right now.
This is a little inside. But I should let you know because we didn't talk about. No. I lived in New York. I was more of a Pitt person.
Okay,
and so that whole community, like, and I know when everything was blowing up with UCB and stuff like that. So that's why most of our Wisconsin listeners are probably like, "What language are they speaking right now?"
It's United Citizens Brigade.
Yes,
right?
And Upright Citizens Brigade. This was started by Amy Poehler, and so like, it was at least. What the second city is to Chicago and Groundlings is to LA, UCB was to New York. Do you think that's a fair way to put it?
Yeah, I think that's a totally fair way to put it. It's the training ground. It's the building community. It's the, you know, when I was quote unquote coming up, there's like, that was where you got your comedic footing, where you got stage time. In fact, the Pit was better at giving stage time than UCB. Yeah. The Pit, you could just, I mean, we did so much shows. It was like you go and you do shows. And that's, I think, the wonderful thing about New York is there's opportunities to go and like do shows and put stuff up. So yeah, I was a UCB baby, and then through friends at UCB, through like work in the online satire community, you build your community and you get what are called packets, which is basically the, you know, the late night way of saying we're hiring, here's what you have to do to get hired. And after, you know, 22, 23 of those, I did a Last Week Tonight one and it made the cut.
And
fantastic.
I feel like part of everything I've done, like Last Week Tonight, Daily Show, like that is what has inspired me to do what I do here, right? I don't have a writing team, so I don't know if it says. But Last Week Tonight specifically, writing jokes, because that show goes so deep on research.
Yeah.
And then it is punctuated with like dick jokes. Mm-hmm. And it's like, yeah. It really is the tone and the balance that it strikes. So were you always into politics and political comedy writing, or was it something that, like, how did that part come to it?
That's such an interesting question. I was always into, I think I had always considered myself a writer that was funny,
okay,
more than a joke writer.
Interesting.
And part of this is also probably context. My husband is, Felipe Toro Medina, is like one of the best joke writers I know.
Okay.
And it's just so
clean.
He writes for Colbert.
Yeah.
Which is a, you know, tight joke show.
Yes.
Set a punchline.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Boom, 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 boom. And having the research base that we have at Last Week Tonight, I think that to me that's a better fit because I'm kind of annoying in that I... You know, you see a headline and I'm like, well, that's a little bit misleading. Like, I feel like I want to go
a little bit deeper about it.
And so with Last Week Tonight, we get to be a little bit, it's like slightly more excruciating and a little bit more, well, actually about what we're actually making jokes about. And because we use a little bit more footage, we can point out things that are like, well, let's tell you what you just saw politically. But also, did you see that thing behind that guy? That's wild. What's that doing there?
And so you feel like it was like a perfect fit. Like the way that show is structured is very different than other political comedy shows. And for your type of writing, it's why it's such a good fit.
When I was 23 in a class at UCB, we had to we wrote our final project for a late night writing class was to write a script in a style that we thought we could write. And I was like, the only one for me. Is
interesting.
John Oliver. And I did a lot of other packets. You can tell. It's like I did a lot of other packets that were fine, but not up to par. And like this was the fit for my voice.
I used to do a show here in the city, a live late night show called the Badger Times Journal Report, which was, and I told people outright, I said, I am taking from John Stewart and I'm taking from John Oliver.
Yeah.
And it would be correspondence, deep dives on topics. Real guests, like political, like we had David Crowley on before he was the county executive.
Wow.
So like those two shows, and for me now, John Oliver has such a deep sense of being for me, that writing, that message. And the fact is when you watch him, he barely breaks. He just keeps going.
Oh my gosh.
He pushes through where a lot of the comedians can, you know, there's a laughter and they'll say something about the laughter. He's like, nope, we're just going to keep going.
Right.
I got 30 minutes.
We don't have time.
Yeah.
We're talking to comedian and writer Taylor K. Phillips, and we will talk about your book, I promise, because that's why you're here, A Guide to Midwestern Conversation. But how many times does he practice before he does a live show? Because it truly is a 30-minute, I barely breathe monologue.
He's got it, you know? And it, I mean, it varies, and a lot of it that we don't see.
Yeah.
A lot of it we just go to taping. And I'm not totally sure, but he is, I mean, he's a pro.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that is, like... That is what he does. And it's amazing that, you know, he goes through and we write the show together and he's so involved. And then he goes out and does it.
And then
which is something cool in the late night space is like, you know, he works so hard.
That's one of the only shows that is just him instead of there's guests, there's correspondence. There's like, there is something that breaks up the half hour.
Yeah.
Versus where that show is just, you're on.
No.
And there's a live audience and we're going.
And sometimes it feels like we didn't get enough time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's like, oh, there's...
And then you have to do the Chuck E. Cheese special. So did you write on the Chuck E. Cheese special?
So we can't say for legal reasons what we work on or whatever.
Okay.
But I can say that that I really enjoyed watching that and felt a lot of affection for it and was very impressed by the work done in a way that as a Midwesterner, maybe I wouldn't.
I could not shut up about that piece. Yeah.
We talked about it on the show because like, this is amazing. So what we should say, though, is right now, you are not currently working.
I am not.
You are still, once the strike is over, that will be your job. But right now, you're not. So how is the strike going, Taylor?
It blows.
Yeah.
But it is also kind of awesome.
Okay.
Because no one... It's in context, right? On this side of the threshold, which is we have to be on strike, there's no option, right? There is no alternative to this. We made our requests to the studios. They are eminently reasonable. And not only have they Like, there are some that they declined. There are some that they, you know, came back and negotiated. And there are a lot that they just refused to negotiate with us about. So there's just no debate about whether or not this is the right thing to do.
Yeah.
But the idea of agreement among thousands and thousands of writers, a 98% vote in favor of the strike, the idea that SAG now has said, you know, even a higher percentage of their membership, which is much bigger than ours, yeah, also said this situation is untenable. It's the most unified group I've literally ever been a part of. And so to be on picket lines with those people, you know, discussing what is going on in our industry, like on social media and whatever with those people, it feels really good because it feels like we're going to win. Like, I don't have any real doubt.
Oh, that's interesting.
About where this is going. Because I really feel like the studios still don't understand who they're messing with. And the army that they have created.
They literally can't do it without you guys.
Could you tell them that? They don't seem to totally get that.
I can't remember. I think it was the chief executive officer of ABC when he came out and said, well, we have a strike-proof season. I said, you just showed how much you don't care by saying, meh, we'll go ahead and just put on reality shows and whatnot. Nothing against reality shows. But like when he said that, I'm like, oh, well, you obviously think this is nothing to you. This is nothing to you.
Right. And it's, you know, way up at the top, it feels like those people don't care about making TV. But there are a lot of executives, a lot of suits who genuinely
who got into this who business got into for a reason.
To make TV.
Yeah. Yeah.
And to make movies and to you know, as much as you're like, well, you know, to tell stories. And it makes people a lot of money. People love to go see it. You know, not to be a broken record, but like, did we all see how many people showed up at the movies?
Well, I think about like, that. I think about The Last of Us. I think about these like cultural moments of that even without the same kind of consolidation of everyone watching the same thing, because there's so many different streaming services, there's so many different ways to absorb content, but there's still things that we all get on board with and want to talk about together. Yeah. And a lot of that is really good writing and really good acting.
Yeah.
And that's what it is. That's their product. That is the only thing a lot of these people make.
Mm-hmm.
And we make it. And so
we only have a minute left for this segment.
Okay.
And I want to talk about your book.
Tell me.
So when we come back, we'll talk about the other thing that you're doing right now, since you're not writing for the show, and what inspired it, where people can get it, and like all of those Midwestern roots that you tapped into for the book. So our guest is comedian and writer Taylor K. Phillips. This is As Goes Wisconsin, and we'll be back in just a minute.
And bathrobes too. We ate oysters in our bed.
Oysters in
topped
our
it
bed.
Off with some dark chocolate.
Chocolate.
What a lovely night alone.
During which we had sex, and everybody knows that it would actually be weirder if it didn't go that way. The night ended in intercourse, a special hotel kind. The whole point of this day night was for us to bone.
After 4 years of marriage and 6 years together, we decided just to spend a nice night at home.
But we didn't have sex because we ate too many nachos. It was in our plans initially, but then we got full. We didn't feel the pressure since we still have sex like all the time. We ate our chips and cheese and then we fell asleep.
It's so hot. Wait. Now it's going to rain? It is summer in Wisconsin.
As much as we love it, we love to hate it too. Find a forecast you can count on along with the in-depth details you need, only from the Civic Media Weather Team.
These extended conditions have led us into a flash drought. Sitting in these above average temperatures with minimal rain has swiftly altered the local climate.
Your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
I've got some cheese curds that I'm willing to share. Then I want to ride that giant slide over there. So if you've got 11 days to spare, won't you come with me to the Wisconsin State Fair? Won't you come with me to the Wisconsin? Great state of Wisconsin!
There's something for everyone at the Wisconsin State Fair, presented by U.S. Cellular, August 3rd through the 13th.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. We got Jane Matinere on the board. Greg Bach is here. And we are talking to comedian and writer Taylor K. Phillips. And let's talk about your book, A Guide to Midwestern Conversation. What is it?
Well, it is a love letter in 140, I don't actually remember the page number, illustrated pages. It started as a McSweeney's piece.
Okay.
And it is just the, at the beginning, like at its nascence, it is things that we say in the Midwest and like what we mean when we say them. It's
like,
not,
no, yeah, yeah, no.
Yeah, no, yeah, yeah, no. Or like,
let me just get around you real quick.
It's, yeah. Exactly.
Oh, right,
yeah, exactly.
Right by.
And like,
do you guys say Ope in Missouri?
There is, it's like, we don't realize that we do it.
Yeah.
It's, and so many people over the course of like the book are talking to have come up and being like, I didn't realize that I did it.
Or realize that this
same.
Is a regional thing that I do.
Exactly.
That other people don't do this.
That's and you probably had this had a similar experience where it's like you don't realize that until you move away
mm-hmm.
and people start pointing out things about you that you're the kind of reaction is like, what do you mean? Like, yeah, everybody
like
does
you
that.
Say the word bag and bagel.
Yes, bagel.
But it's also
yeah.
funny how quickly it comes back when you move back.
Immediately. even just like a slight twang. And for me, it's not even Kansas City. It's that my dad's from the south of Missouri. So like even just talking to him, it'll just go a little bit, like just a little bit,
okay.
like not much, but like,
yeah,
it'll get up there.
I went to New York once with a bunch of people and we were talking and my friend's friend who I didn't know, he goes, I can tell you're from the Midwest. I said, why? He goes, you look people in the eyes and you smile a lot. And I'm like, that's, I don't know if that's a compliment.
It's wild. I went to a Starbucks on Park Avenue and I said, good morning, how's it going? And the man looked terrified. He was frightened. He was like, is this a new type of stick up? Like,
and was that a culture shock when you left Missouri to go to school out east? Was that like a huge difference culturally?
It wasn't. The culture shock was more people expecting me to have a culture shock.
Okay.
It was like we would all, you know, be lined up in the freshman room talking about where we were from. And it would be, I'm from Boston. I'm from New York. I'm from Connecticut. I'm from Florida. I'm from California. I'm from Vietnam. And I'd say, I'm from Missouri. And people would go, oh, that's so far.
Or where is that?
Like, just mentally. Wait, like,
did they let you in on a special deal or something?
Just like, what is that? And one time, like, the dean of freshmen was like, hello, welcome. And I was like, hi. He was like, where are you from? Where are you joining us from? I was like, oh, I'm from Missouri. The man talked slower. He said,
no.
How are you liking it here? And I was like, well, there aren't near as many cows. Like, what the heck do you think I'm about to do? That was the culture shock.
It really is true. In 2023, in a world of massive ability to get information, people from the coasts still think we are barefoot cow farmers. Like, literally, people I've met who are like, I didn't realize that places in Wisconsin all had running water or, like, indoor toilets. I wish that was a joke. It's true.
It is true.
It's amazing. And they're not embarrassed by it.
Well, yeah. Especially because Kansas City is I think Kansas City is bigger than Milwaukee. How many people live
there? We Googled that on the way here.
So it's like, because it's a big city.
It's a big city. We got the World Cup. We had the draft. We've got Mahomes.
You got your own song in Oklahoma?
We got our own song in seven stories high.
You got a baseball team that I don't want to talk about.
Fair. Nobody needs to talk about it.
So what was the motivation? Like, was it just because you're like, once the McSweeney's article did well, where you're like, I think this could be a book?
I wish that I could say that, but really it was a bunch of other people saying, this did really well, you should make it a book. And me saying, I don't know, for like 3.5 years.
Procrastination.
Yeah. Procrastination. And when I say people, I mean...
It's very Midwestern.
Exactly. I was like, oh, I don't think so. Oh, I think that's a little too much. You know, that's... Oh, dear.
Midwesterners, we don't... And I say this with loving heart, born and raised in Wisconsin. We do not think on those levels of like, there's abject failure and complete success. We love to hover in the middle and like, this is good. This is good.
Right.
Let's not push it. Let's just stay kind and humble. We got what we got. We can pay our bills.
And don't let it go to your head.
Don't let it go to your head.
Don't talk about your success.
Do not forget your raisin. All right?
Exactly. Well, that's in one of the initial piece, one of the Midwestern things is like, look at you big city girl.
Yeah.
Which means you think you're better than me?
Oh, we're like, so good at that.
Well, look at you in the big city. How is it up there? Is it safe? You know? it's like now I'm stuck between.
Which is also funny because then there's layers to that. Because yes. I'm sure from being, I would imagine, because this is the same dynamic, a similar dynamic in Wisconsin is there's Madison and there's Milwaukee and then there's the rest of Wisconsin. And there's feelings about that. I would imagine it's similar in Missouri as far as there is more rural Missouri and then there's Kansas City.
Oh, yeah, I'm from the big city.
And so you're already from the big city and now you really live in the big city. And so like the layers removed of even the people who are in the big city of Kansas City are thinking like, oh, she's in New York.
She's in
now.
New York.
And she works in television. Right.
Like just, you know, and you know, they charge you extra for French fries on the side of your burger there. Which is true and it's redonkulous. But now I am caught between. It's like in New York I'm like this kind of sweet, nice, nobody's met anyone nicer kind of pushover. And in the Midwest, everyone's like, is she for real? This is a cutthroat witch.
Really?
Like not always, but they're kind of like, oh, wow, you're like really.
You're direct.
You know, you're direct.
You're very direct now.
Oh, wow.
And how much do you feel like since leaving, in your heart of hearts, where do you feel like the balance is of like, you can take the girl out of the Midwest versus you can't take the Midwest out of the girl?
I think I said to someone this morning, it's like, I'm a Kansas City girl with a New York address, which feels mostly true. But I think that I operate at a New York pace.
Okay.
I think I have like the Midwestern sort of understanding, a kind of lack of judgment, which is something I think that is very Midwestern, is like, I think that there's a feeling of what are the rules here? You know, and I will mostly adhere to them. Do we take off our shoes in this house?
Yeah.
You know, what, like, are we getting appetizers, dinner, dessert, or are we just eating, you know what I mean? Like, the kind of how your family does it, how my family does it, I'm curious about it, which I think that curiosity is not as pronounced on the coasts, and I think I try to still have that.
That's a really interesting observation that I would agree with.
Right? Like, it's something you don't think about you go places and be like, oh, I feel really strongly about, like, the way my family does things. And it's like, what a weird thing to say. I would never
assume that we got it right.
Right. Yeah. It's just like, yeah, do we, you know, like my dad doesn't drink. He hasn't drank for 36 years. And like, we go to somebody's house and he brings his diet soda with him the first time. And then he'll always bring it with him just in case. But as soon as anybody's ever had my dad's like, oh, yeah, and we got Diet Pepsi in the thing. Because nice. Carrie's come, you know?
All right. Well, that went by so quickly. We have so much overlap in common. I'm just excited to talk to you after the show.
Yes.
But Taylor K. Phillips, you can buy A Midwestern Conversation anywhere you can buy books. I will link it to today's show notes. I'll also link her social media if you want to follow her on X or
on X
the things.
Or Instagram, I think.
But it was so fun to have you in person.
It was so, so fun to see you guys. I'm so grateful.
Absolutely. All right. Well, thank you to everyone who called into the show, texted into the show. We will be back tomorrow to do it all over again. This has been As Goes Wisconsin.
If you care
about animals or crops, you probably care how the weather could impact both.
It's summer in Wisconsin, and the success of your efforts often depends on knowing the forecast. Count on your local Civic Media weather team for all the information you need.
Crops' roots are also growing deeper in search for water, which is bad news, because when rain finally falls, it will sit shallow and be absorbed in the top layers of the soil.
Your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
And apparently, Maggie Dawn, big Newton lover of the Maggie Dawn Show.
I was so offended, Jane. You know how much I love and admire you. You're like my freaking radio hero. And then to hear you bash my Newton.
It's still bad.
You want the cakey part cakey. You want the jammy part jammy. That is like bringing me back.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You're listening to WLAK 1260 AM Amory and WBZH 910 AM W245 CT Hayward. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm